All right, here we go. We have another test on coaches that lie. Urban Meyer was asked today if he had an interest in the Notre Dame job. Guess what he said? He is not leaving the NFL for any college job.
Oh, well, that settles that then.
Do we believe, because Urban Meyer has never lied before. Again, if you're just tuning in the conversation, I think coaches lie, and it's okay to lie. They can't always tell the truth. Kind of how they, but how they act maybe shows more than what they say. Do we believe that Urban Meyer has no interest in the Notre Dame job?
Look, we've all heard the joke on Twitter last night. The Notre Dame job is not going to be the first thing to fall into Urban Meyer's lap.
Dun-dun-dun. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yes. Tip your waitress. Try the veal.
Yes. But there's the part of Urban Meyer, as great as he was in college, national championship coach at Florida and national championship coach at Ohio State, is the last little bit of run in Columbus and then his dabble in the NFL this year, has it taken the shine off Urban Meyer on and off the field? I think there's a lot of college football programs. Urban Meyer could walk in the door, and in the first 3 years, your roster has been turned upside down, and you're competing for trophies.
I think at least 75% of Power 5 schools would fire their coach if they knew Urban Meyer would take that job, at least. Notre Dame is not one of them.
There was a time where I researched his wife because his name was heavily mentioned for the Nebraska job. This is going way back. I think this was prior to him going to Florida. Yeah, this was when Bill Callahan was hired. Urban Meyer had no connection to the NFL, but I was like, wow, this is a guy that's, doing pretty well. So I looked into his wife because somebody had said, his wife is like super active. She's like the water girl. And I was like, sounds like Mark Richt's wife as well, who used to be like the water girl when Mark Richt was at Georgia. Channel 6 Mike writes into the Equitable Bank inbox, I think your discussion about Big Ten coaching longevity hits some good points. I think Fitz at Northwestern will be the litmus test. Would they let him go through another year like this? And could what Nebraska doing with Frost help save Fitz for another year or two? The last we saw of Northwestern around here, Nebraska won 56-7. That was a bad Northwestern football team that didn't get any better. They're in that three-year cycle of they'll have a couple of years where they're competing, and then they have that one bottom-out year. If you checked out of Northwestern football after they played in Lincoln in the first weekend in October and you did not see them again, they were bad. I mean, really, really bad. I am curious to see what their offseason is going to be like in Evanston, because will they dip into the portal? They need an influx of talent. And granted, they lost. I mean, Northwestern had NFL guys. I mean, first and second day NFL guys last year. But they were really, really bad. But I wonder, and you and I were talking about this off air, because the Big Ten is different. The leashes are longer. The leash is long at Nebraska. Or is it because when Nebraska's had coaching changes, it usually coincides with a new athletic director coming in? We haven't done this before, where a new athletic director is in his first year on the job and he's not making a change at football coach. But the leashes in the Big Ten may also be longer, because outside of three programs in this conference, how many jobs would a Lincoln Riley leave Oklahoma, a Brian Kelly leave Notre Dame to come to in the Big Ten? Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State? Can you get me a fourth?
No, I think that's it.
Brian Kelly's not leaving Notre Dame to come to Lincoln. Lincoln Riley is not leaving Norman to come to Lincoln. Even though that would be great if you had Lincoln Riley coaching Nebraska and Willie Korn as an offensive coach.
Markets itself.
Yes. So that may also have to do with the Big Ten doesn't get caught up in this cycle and the leash is a little bit longer. And there's three of 14 teams that are playoff or bust. Everybody else is pretty content to have that 1 year. Just be consistent. Give me six, give me seven. That 1 year we win nine. If we go back to six or seven, we're good.
I hate to do the Colin Cowherd thing, but is that a Midwest thing? Like,
well, I think it's also that.
Yeah. Okay.
I think we're very patient people.
Yeah.
It's also part of, as we've been around the Big Ten long enough, there are not as many passionate fan bases that your college football program dictates your mood, like we have in this state. Ohio State matches that. I wouldn't say that, I'm not going to go. Michigan and Penn State are also in that category. Penn State people are pretty passionate about their football, and Michigan as well. Like in the West Division, I know Iowa has passionate fans, a slice of passionate fans. Wisconsin does as well, but not the level of the team that plays down Interstate 80. It's an interesting observation in this conference on they don't get caught up in the coaching carousel every 3 or 4 years firing someone. The marquee jobs that would be attractive for somebody at a pretty good Power 5 job to leave and come to that job, there's maybe three. Maybe three that are in this conference. I mean, look, there's a lot of programs in this conference that the person they hire to take over their vacancy comes from a group of five. They're not poaching somebody else's Power 5 coach. I'm thinking of the MAC. I mean, the MAC has had a good run of sending coaches to the Big Ten. Now, the guy they sent to Minnesota has turned out pretty well. The guys they've sent to Purdue and to Illinois haven't worked out so well. All right, 12:02. Matt Foster's coming up in the next hour. Also, Tom Chattel, before we hit a break, I promise we'll talk about offensive line, Adrian. And then Eddie on Twitter just posed a question about Doman and Cam Taylor-Britt being second team all-conference that I'm going to make me think a little bit. But first, let's talk to Doug. Hello, Doug.
Hi, Gary. How are you this morning?
Good, Doug.
Good. Hey, I have a name for an offensive coordinator, and that's the guy at Wake Forest. That Warren Ruggiero, they did a really, really good job on offense this year. They throwing the ball, running the ball. I think they even put some option in there. Isn't Wake Forest playing for the ACC title game against Pittsburgh?
They are. And Dave Clawson just got a healthy extension.
So I don't know, man, because I've read about this guy, and I'll tell you what, I think being an East Coast guy, from my understanding. But this guy, he's done wonders. And I'll tell you one thing. I think they should really look at this guy.
He's been there for a while. Now, I'm trying to think if he – because he's got a Kansas State one-year background. If he ever crossed –
That's right.
If he's ever crossed paths –
Kansas State 1 year.
Yeah. So he's been at Wake Forest for nearly 7 years. So he might be pretty tight with Dave Clawson. And I don't know if he has aspirations of being a head coach somewhere. But in all of this, Doug, and I agree, he's a young up-and-comer and a play caller, is why would a guy leave a pretty stable position where they've had success and come to Nebraska?
Well, that's just it.
I mean, that but then that becomes, if you're Scott, you have to sell that to pry a guy away from, hey, we know we'll pay you more. You come here, you're going from the ACC to the Big Ten. If you want to be a head coach, you have success here, and then, you know, where if you help us with success, you can go wherever you'd like to go.
Isn't Eric Schneider getting paid $800,000 a year as a defensive coordinator?
Yes, yes, he is, and he probably is going to get a little bump in the offseason.
And he probably is too. Well, I mean, you know, being Scott Frost, that could cut and pay. I'm sure this Warren guy isn't making $800,000 at Wake Forest. I mean, you know, come on. I mean, look, money talks. We all know that. But then on the other hand, too, you know, what's best for this guy and his family. But I'm impressed with this guy. But anyways, let me ask you something else before I hang it up. I think for next year, and I'm just using my so-called common sense. I think Nebraska should completely do away with this 3-4 defense and go with a attacking 4-3. It just seems to me that, you know, Wisconsin ran the ball all over these guys. I think it's safe to say when Iowa needed to run the ball, they were able to run the ball with no problem. When Nebraska played Michigan, that running back, he had no problem running the ball. It just seems to me, Gary, that if you have 4 defensive linemen going up against 5 offensive linemen, it just seems to me your chances of stopping the run are far greater than 3. If you can go out and recruit defensive linemen the way Alabama does, the way Georgia does, run a 3-4. But Nebraska can't do that. It just seems to me that this is not working. Now, their defense played really good this year. In some games, they were really good. But on the average, that Braylon Allen just ran all over these guys. I don't know, man.
I think on the run defense, they hit the wall at the end of the year. Doman wasn't available. Reimer was banged up, probably will need offseason surgery. Daniels got hurt against Wisconsin. And once he was out the rest of the Wisconsin game, and especially last Friday, you saw what a hole he had. They call themselves 3-4. They are not as true to the 3-4 as you would think. I mean, they have different elements where they might pop in and play a little bit of 4-3. I just think it would be, man, you've built this and you've recruited to it. And I mean, if you can find a big Damian Daniels type nose guard and build out from there, you can have success. I just think it would be tough right now to go and change it, go back to a 4-3, because you built this way and you've designed things and you've recruited this way. But they're not a full true 3-4 in that sense.
But it just seems to me they're not going to lose so many a lot of guys on the defensive line. Ben Stille is gone. Some of the other
Thomas and Daniels will be gone.
Robinson's coming back. Casey Rogers is back.
Yep.
Now, defensive line, they can play 4 guys. They can have two. They can have the first string and second string of 4 guys to interchange. I mean, that's just my opinion.
Doug, thanks for the phone call. We found out the salary here of the athletic director at Wake Forest. Now, this is, I think, a couple of years ago. This says $500,000. Isn't it crazy how we look at, like, the offensive coordinator at Wake Forest, they're playing for an ACC championship. And we go, $500,000. That's not very much. $500,000 is pretty good. He once made $133,000 at Bowling Green as the offensive coordinator. I mean, Willie Korn makes $140,000 as the offensive coordinator, quarterback coach at Coastal Carolina. What are we doing in radio? How come we are not in college football coaching? I don't, as a head coach or a coordinator or a position coach.
I could be a position coach. I don't need to be head coach.
Man, bad on me. I just glanced at this and said, he's only making $500,000. I mean, I like playing with other people's money.
You definitely read that number, and I instantly thought, oh, we can beat that.
Yeah, I mean, come on. But wasn't Lubick was $500,000?
We should go into coaching.
See, what is the next, whether it be the following year, down the road, some of us paused when Nebraska football paid a guy $5 million a year to coach. I lost my mind when Nebraska and Chan Ikorst assigned himself $1 million salary. I was like, whoa, we are not in the Bob Devaney days of the power chair anymore. All of these escalating salaries in college football with head coaches, And the popular one is 10 years, $100 million right now. What does the next football coach at Nebraska, what will his salary look like? I mean, if Scott stays, his salary starts to escalate again. But he's in the $4 or $5 million range. If you have to hire another football coach at Nebraska here in the next 4 to 5 years, and you know what the going rate is, what's the next football coach at Nebraska going to make? Because you can't go back.
Yeah.
You've paid. Just like the next basketball coach at Nebraska, whenever Hoiberg decides he wants to move on, you've set, because you paid a football coach at Nebraska $5 million, you could pay a basketball coach $3 million, but you can't go back unless Mike Riley walks in again and says, I'm good. I don't need a lot of money. Right? You can't.
Yeah.
The baseline has been set at Nebraska that the next football coach is $5 million and above. The next basketball coach, $3 million and above. Trev is not a $1 million athletic director. I think he's been pretty good with his money.
Yeah.
He doesn't, and I think he also he's looking at the optics. Man, it wouldn't look good if I came in and I said, man, I gotta get that mill that Moose was getting. But you can't go back. It's wild.
You also have to ask.
I mean, Nebraska's going to get, they're starting to inch closer to $1 million coordinator.
Mm-hmm. Did Frost take a hometown discount as well when he agreed to $5 million?
Okay, so there's part of me that says no, because Moose just throws money out. I mean, you gave a guy who had not been a head coach at a Power 5 program 7 years, $5 million. That's a Bill Moose. I got money. How much you want? Or Scott being a very good negotiator to say, what are we doing? All right, 12-12. Quick break. Come back with more. Good show. There's a lot of stuff going on here. Brian Kelly will be announced in a couple of hours at LSU. The path to winning a national championship out of the SEC. The roadmap is better than the roadmap at Notre Dame. Can you win a national championship in the current circumstances, an independent to the, or as of the SEC at LSU, in the SEC, or as an independent at Notre Dame? And Brian Kelly, at the age of 60, would like a national championship, and he sees LSU as the route to get to and win a national championship easier than it is at Notre Dame because you are an independent. All right, we're back with more of the Gary Sharp Show after this.